Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of BTS by the Book. This is a podcast that explores BTS through books about BTS, one chapter at a time. I'm your host, the BTS Bookworm. I'm a university librarian living in America, and I use the BTS Bookworm nickname because it's a perfect description of, first of all, my love of BTS, and two, the way I pursue my love of things like BTS, and that's through books. When I first discovered the group, I rushed to buy books instead of albums, and within a week, I had three BTS books in my possession, and by the time I was through those books, I was already hooked on BTS. The weekly plan for this podcast is to consider one chapter of one BTS book with a combination of overview and review. And I do this in a rotating fashion, never looking at the same book in consecutive weeks. If we talk about one book one week, we won't talk about that book again for 5 to 7 weeks. Again. And I do that out of respect for the authors of these books and out of respect for copyright. I never want an author to think that I'm not on their side, because I am. And I never want to take away from their work and what they're doing with their work and the sales involved with the book, etc. Today's book we're considering is a book about BTS. In other words, if it wasn't for BTS, this book would not exist, but it's also about ARMY. Okay, now this is the first book that we're looking at quite like that, an equal parts BTS and ARMY. It's a 2019 book called BTS and ARMY Culture, published by Communication Books. The author is Ji-Heng Lee. There are two translators of this work, so it was not originally in English. Lee is a PhD film studies professor who teaches at Chung-Ang University. And this is a PhD professor type of person. And this is the first book we're looking at like that. Lee refers to herself as an ACA fan, short for academic and fan of BTS. And I really appreciate the way she approaches this book. You know, some academic types could not write a very readable book about anything. But Lee does a great job talking about BTS, and particularly fandom, through the lens of ARMY, doing it with, you could tell she's an academic as she's writing and covering the topic, but she does it in a way that makes it a very easy read for just anybody. You don't have to be an academic to enjoy this book. I like the way she incorporates anecdotes and stories and illustrations to support the content that she shares. And she shares a lot of content. That's why I was in a hurry to look at this book, because it's very substantive. It would be in the neighborhood of, you know, 90% information and text, and maybe only 10, probably only 5%, you know, photos and things that would supplement that. There aren't hardly any photos. In fact, in the chapter we're looking at today, there are two photos, neither of which are of BTS. They are photos that have something to do with ARMY, which is a primary focus here. This book, the last I checked, is not available in a hard copy format. This can be easily purchased, though, in a Kindle-type format, digital, through Amazon, perhaps other places. So you might take a look when you're done listening to this episode. The book has 7 chapters total, and being an e-book, it's hard to determine exactly how many pages this chapter is that we're looking at. I would say it's in the neighborhood of about 20 pages. So very substantive, in other words. I am choosing to look at chapter 5 today from this book. And whenever I pull a chapter from, say, late in a book or in the middle of the book, and in other words, a chapter that's not the first book, a chapter in the book, I want to take a big step back and look at the preface or introduction of the book to provide you some context, to let you know what the author is even trying to do with this book. And I believe that's a helpful first step before looking at any chapter that comes later. I would like to read almost a paragraph's worth of info from the preface of the book, which will provide enough background for everyone to understand what the author's trying to do with chapter 5. So here is the quote. BTS and ARMY culture illuminates how ARMY, which is a kind of imaginary community of BTS-loving fans, has created epistemic distance towards standard K-pop culture and cements BTS's status in global mainstream music via tangible fan practices. Here's a really important part of the quote. To this aim, I analyze social media and online fan communities that serve as discursive spaces for ARMY, and observe in particular how ARMY forges BTS's cultural status by compromising and negotiating with mass media that hold cultural power. This book revolves around these general aspects, and rather than posing as a work of theoretical criticism, its identity resembles an archival document that captures the dynamics of ARMY in the contemporary cultural landscape. For ARMY, I hope that this book is valuable as a neat documentation of their achievements. To those who are curious about ARMY, I hope that this book can serve as a full-scale anatomy of ARMY. Now, here's what I think this author is saying with those words. And you can tell from the word choice in that paragraph and the way she structures the average sentence, this is someone with quite an extensive academic background. She knows how to write, in other words, and her word choice has an academic quality to it. But I think what she's saying is she wants to provide, through this book, a snapshot of where BTS and ARMY, where they've been and where they are currently, at least around the time the book came out, about 2019. It's a snapshot that's her attempt to preserve, for all time, what has happened up to 2019 with the help of ARMY, and how that fandom has contributed to BTS's success culturally and globally. And basically what she does with each chapter is she explores a different angle under this umbrella of ARMY's cultural influence. And chapter 5 is entitled Beyond the Language Barrier. And so, as you might be able to guess, the focus of the entire chapter is on language aspects. BTS is a Korean musical group. Their primary language is Korean. Their primary music language is Korean. And yet, when it comes to ARMY, only a very small slice of that fan group would consist of Korean-speaking people, Korean-speaking fans. So she will explore several aspects that pertain to that dynamic. There are five sections of this chapter, and I will share with you what each one is called when we come to it. But this is the overview portion of this episode. So the first portion of the chapter is what I would consider just an anecdote, just a little story to get everyone's feet wet for the topic. And like I said a second ago, I think that's a great component of the book. The author is quick to share interesting little stories that support or set the stage for the things that she has to say in a more substantive way. But she starts with an anecdote about Jungkook and a tweet that involved at least one term that Korean-speaking people would be very familiar with, but maybe no one else. But this is a very few others would, and this is her way of saying, see, this is because of things like this, little things like this. Some of this language from Korea is becoming a worldwide cultural phenomenon, and it's just the smallest little example of that. And this goes on for about 2 pages until we get to the first section of the chapter that's called Shaking Up Western-Centric Language Hierarchies. That sounds very academic, but trust me, the tone of the work is not that academic. Again, it's called Shaking Up Western-Centric Language Hierarchies. And so this section starts with yet another. I would say it's an almost 3-page example of this author. This is a very personal story for her. This author, who is Korean, but and yet who lived in America as a young child and being in school and having that language barrier between her and her classmates, and talks about some of the almost bullying type things she experienced because of that language barrier. I honestly don't know how helpful that story is. It's interesting. It definitely helps you get to know the author a little more, where she's coming from, and which I appreciated when I first read it. But I don't know exactly how important it is to this section. But she transitions from that into the topic at hand by basically saying the frustration she felt as a Korean-speaking, Korean-born child here in this English-speaking culture, that frustration is kind of flipped on its head thanks to ARMY. So instead of ARMY consisting of primarily Korean-speaking people who are attempting to keep BTS to themselves, because BTS sings primarily in Korean, that would be perhaps a natural tendency of a Korean fan base to kind of keep BTS to themselves and to say to everyone else, sorry, you got to get your own musical group because this is our group and we're not going to help you out with the language. You're on your own. Who cares if you can't understand any of the words that BTS is singing? And yet, just the exact opposite trend has happened since the earliest days of BTS's career, with Army's help. Instead of frustration experienced by English speakers who didn't know Korean, Army bridged the gap and was happy to do so. Instead of keeping BTS to themselves, they want to share BTS with as many people as possible, including primarily, I mean, this would be the biggest group out there, potential audience, and the English-speaking people, or people who know at least some English, you know. So they want to take the frustration away. And this chapter, this section, talks about ways they have helped with that. And this goes without saying, because so many of you listening have probably benefited from the work of Army, certain Army, who's, you know, it seems like it's their job, it's their mission in life to not only provide translations, accurate translations of, you know, everything from run BTS episodes to other public appearances to obviously their songs and the lyrics of those songs, most of which are in Korean. It's not only their mission to do that in an accurate way for English-speaking people, but they want to do it quickly. So there's a very quick turnaround, so that even the frustration of waiting for an English translation is removed. And so this is talked about for a number of pages here. And you know, like I said, YouTube clips are talked about here, music videos, obviously. I plan to share one quote from this section when I get to the review portion of this episode. And I will say, though, I very much appreciated that perspective, because it's something that I, as an English-speaking person, BTS fan, I've come to expect it. I don't even think about how wonderful it is that there are people who are volunteering to do this, working behind the scenes to share not just quick, easy translations, but good translations quickly with English-speaking audiences. I take it for granted, in other words, and this section helped me appreciate for the first time in a long time those endeavors. The second section of this chapter is called Army Hangul Day. Specifically, the October 2018 observance of Hangul Day. And the anecdote that this section starts with is a Twitter hashtag that arose on that particular Hangul Day, that's spelled H-A-N-G-U-L, by the way. And it was a hashtag that was in Korean. And what was interesting about that was how many non-Korean speaking people were using that Korean hashtag. And not only that, but accompanying these tweets were countless handwritten letters by English-speaking people who, in their handwritten letter, used at least a little, and in some cases, I would say maybe a moderate amount, of handwritten Korean in their letters. And the author obviously felt compelled to include that in this chapter, because It was just a day's worth of in-your-face evidence that the influence, language-wise, of BTS on really the world, because these letters came from all corners of the world, not just English-speaking corners, just how vast that influence has been promoting Korean culture, Korean language, just around the globe. And the author shares her opinion in one quote I'd like to share now. It's not necessarily one of my favorite quotes, but it definitely speaks to the author's perspective on this. And I would say this is the author's opinion, not something she necessarily researched and concluded. But here's the quote, about three sentences worth here. She says, "Army's love for Hangul was not rooted in blind awe towards the culture to which their artists belong. Seemingly, the dominant sentiment was gratefulness to BTS for providing a miraculous avenue that enables the sharing of humane experiences beyond the language barrier." And I really appreciate that. It probably goes without saying, and it's not something you need to research to know the truth in that. But these humane experiences, the experiences of just all humans being shared, thanks to not just BTS, but like I said, BTS and Army. For those in Western, more Western markets. She goes on to say, this is also her opinion, but I think it's shared by so many of us fans. She makes the claim that international fans, that means the non-Korean army, international fans would never, it's a quote, would never petition for BTS to sing in English instead of Korean. So even though some of their most recent work, starting with Dynamite and going to Butter and Permission to Dance, things like that, these English songs, I'm sure welcome by English-speaking people around the world. They're welcome. This author is claiming that if you were to ask these English-speaking army, would you prefer BTS to get away from their Korean music, their mostly Korean music? And her claim is they would say, no. No, we don't want them to get away from that. We like the English, but we still can't wait for them to get back to their what they've done for most of their career. That's sing primarily in Korean. Now, I don't want to put words in the mouth of this author, but that's what I believe she is saying. And I love this quote here because I think it reflects this sentiment. She says, "This is the kind of thing that a fan might say. I had no clue what they," that is BTS, "were saying or what it means, but it felt like I was able to understand everything." And I think we've all felt that. Even the Korean music that doesn't have the subtitles right there, maybe we don't know what the words mean exactly, we still somehow understand so much anyway. And I really appreciate that. And the last quote from this section that I'd like to share sums up a lot as well. Lee says, "What transcends standardized systems of civilization and reaches fans all over the world are not the Korean lyrics, but rather their essence." This goes beyond this, the essence of what they're singing about goes well beyond language, in other words, is what she's saying, in my opinion. The next section is it's interesting. It is an extended anecdote. And by the way, in case you don't know what an anecdote means, it's just a kind of a little story, an illustrative point, an example that supports a point that the author's trying to make. It's not some kind of researched, hypothesis that or anything like that. It's just an example to support what the author's trying to say. And the example she uses here, this extended anecdote, is in the next section of the chapter called City, C-I-T-I. It's a proper name here, City Field Concert Review by a Visually Impaired Girl. So City Field was a stadium concert in New York. I forget the date. It's not mentioned here specifically. But the anecdote involves a freelance writer who attended a BTS, this concert, with her sister, who's a huge fan of BTS. In fact, it's because of the sister that's why this writer ended up at the concert. But her sister is visually impaired. I don't know if she's completely blind, but the phrase is just visually impaired. And this author is just talking about how moved this visually impaired fan sister was, even though she could not see maybe anything. And I think the point the author Lee is trying to make through that is, language involves a lot of non-verbal aspects, things you just see, but you can't hear them. They just kind of supplement things you can hear. But the point here is, even without that non-verbal, those non-verbal elements, this person couldn't see any of the gestures, couldn't see any of the physicality of the concert. She was still able to appreciate just about as much as anyone, seemingly, what BTS was trying to communicate. So that was an extended story. And I'll be honest and say there's not a lot of substantive commentary to support that. It's sort of treated mostly as a standalone story about, like I said, these are my words, not the author's, necessarily these nonverbal aspects of BTS's, the way they communicate. The next section of this chapter, second to last, is called BTS Singing in Korean. Now, in this section, the first paragraph speaks about foreign language music as a rule not doing well, especially in American settings, U.S. culture. And the long-standing belief is that only English language songs can become fully mainstream in an English-dominant culture like the U.S. And, with the recent success of some of BTS's English language songs, you might, tend to agree because we're seeing it now. And one major takeaway from this section is yet another reinforcement of the idea that fans who know better should hope and even encourage BTS to consider sticking to Korean when it comes to their future song projects. In other words, ARMY should be hopeful that members of the group, whose mother tongue is of course Korean, will continue to compose the type of music that we have come to really appreciate, but in Korean. And although we, as English-speaking people, especially enjoy the familiarity of English with some of their recent hits like Dynamite, you have to admit that those songs tend to lack the meaning and the sentiment, the deep sentiment of some of their Korean songs. And so for those diehard fans who have come to appreciate BTS because of what they communicate, what they stand for in their music, we can only hope that they'll primarily stick to their mother tongue when it comes to composing music, because that's truly where they can express their heart and soul, which most of us probably really appreciate. And so I thought that was a fair point from the author, and I certainly don't think about that typically when I'm listening to their music, Korean or in English. The last section of the chapter is entitled Fan Translators. And this is a section that talks about a core group of probably fewer than 25, a core group of translators who are absolutely fluent in Korean, whether they live in Korea still or other parts of the world, that's their go-to language, but are also fluent enough in English to provide quick and accurate, both the key terms, but especially the accuracy part, translations, provide subtitles, for example, of the work of BTS in Korean. But they do so in English for so many English-speaking people. The author talks about, this almost seems like a side point to what this chapter is mainly trying to do, but certainly a part of it is not. The part of this section that deals with the importance of translators knowing not just about the language, but also about Korean culture, because that plays a part. You know, how can I communicate this in English, knowing not just about the language, but also about the culture, because that plays a part in how you render that in English. And so there's this core group that just does that well, and they've kind of made it, I'll use the word mission again, that's their mission, one of their missions in life, it seems to me, and they do this in a voluntary type fashion, and but it's so it's not just the language, it's the cultural knowledge that assists in this. But the part that I feel like is just an interesting side note is there's a decent amount of talk in this section. This is probably the longest section in the chapter. It's at least 1.5 times the length of the average section of this chapter. It talks about the power and the influence that this group of core translators, you know, BTS translators, the amount of influence they have on fandom, and maybe influence outside of ARMY as well. But when they stick together, when they band together, there's enough uniformity in that group, politically speaking, that they can have a surprising amount of influence on ARMY culture. And then maybe politics, even on, you know, lowercase p politics in even Korea, because of their influence, because of the amount of respect they have and the amount of authority, quotation marks around authority, that they possess among the international ARMY community. And I think that's interesting to, it's an interesting idea to explore. I don't know how much it has to do exactly with the language focus of the chapter. And yet, it is obvious when you read the section that their power and influence, for better or worse, okay, the author doesn't say that it's great or not great necessarily. She remains fairly objective, but it's all because of language, right? If BTS was not a Korean group but an English-speaking group, this would not be a factor. But because they are Korean, and because so many around the world rely on quick, accurate English translations, that's why this group has so much power and influence. And I have not seen this amount of content pertaining to this in any other book about BTS. So it is very interesting. And I think the average ARMY would appreciate this perspective, even though I feel like it's at least mildly tangential to the core focus of the chapter. So that's the overview, as best as I can and put it. What about the review? Well, as I already mentioned or hinted at early in the episode, I really appreciate the balance, that the way this academic PhD professor type is able to communicate to non-academic types, just the average fan of BTS. So there's, of course, there's the occasional word used that you might have to look up in a dictionary because you're not familiar with it. But not too many of those. But the writing is done quite well. Of course, this is a translation. A lot of the credit goes to the translators as well in that regard. But the author, being an academic, understands the need to provide illustrations, interesting stories, and anecdotes along with her content to hold the attention of non-academics, to support her points in an understandable way that people can relate to. So I really appreciate that. That balance there. It's very readable material. The question about that I always like to consider when reviewing, you know, how well does this chapter represent BTS, who they are and what they stand for? Well, obviously, the spotlight is mainly on ARMY here, and the spotlight is on what makes the fan base for BTS unique. Does the chapter represent well the uniqueness of ARMY? Well, yes, because even if there are some of these same things going on with other, you know, non-English speaking groups, it is on such a lower scale, smaller scale when compared to BTS and ARMY. It wouldn't be worth writing a book about, certainly, but you definitely come away from even this, just this one chapter, appreciating how special and unique ARMY is. And in certain pockets of ARMY, including that pocket that volunteers to provide these very authoritative translations and subtitles, etc., of BTS's work in all sorts of formats. And so the author does a great job exploring that. And of course, this is just one lens, the language lens. There are several other lenses explored in this book, and we will get to those eventually. So I really appreciate the way this section reminds me, as an English-speaking fan, of how things would be different in a bad way if the fandom, the Korean-speaking fandom, if they had chosen years ago to keep BTS for themselves, to keep this Korean treasure just a Korean treasure, because they could have. They could have chosen to be what I would say selfish with BTS. And yet it's been just the opposite. They want as many people to appreciate BTS as possible. And so they have sacrificed many things, many hours. And since the focus here is on language, they've sacrificed many hours to bridge the language gap so that BTS can continue their influence, can continue to grow around the world, well outside of Korea. And I said I was going to read at least one quote from earlier. And this is from the first section in the chapter, this Shaking Up Western-Centric Language Hierarchies section. It's my favorite quote, and I only have one this time. So let me share the quote, and I'll tell you why it's my favorite. Lee writes, "When I see YouTube reaction clips where international fans joyfully watch BTS music videos, but then break into tears after reading the translated lyrics, I can't help but wonder if world peace is actually up to regular people who open up to each other rather than politicians." So maybe that's a bit of an overstatement, but I love how she puts that. You know, when you think world peace, you think big stage where the only thing that could be done to foster world peace could only be done by some of the politicians of the most of the largest countries, the most influential countries, and yet just watching a BTS fan, an English-speaking BTS fan, watch a music video and really like it and really enjoy it, but to emotionally be taken to an entirely different level when they get to read those subtitles and they can see and understand what this song, for example, is trying to communicate. The way that peace and harmony that is foundational for that to happen is it's so encouraging. It gives me hope that something like that can happen on a larger scale, but in realistically, it's probably going to happen in countless ways, but on a much smaller scale, just like this. And I've hardly read a sentence in any BTS book that sums up my own history with BTS better than that. You know, I can enjoy the beat and the tune of a song just like any other group, English speaking or not, but when I see the lyrics, there are times when my appreciation for the song is easily doubled just because I know what the song's really about, and I know what they're trying to say, and I get it. It's so profound, it's so wonderful. And so again, I appreciate the way the sensitivity the author has to perspectives like that. She definitely seems like someone who can relate to it quite well. Even though she doesn't need the language help like the average person would be, considering her Korean background. I can't recommend this book enough. Its focus isn't primarily on BTS, which some people might have a problem with, because they may think, well, I'm ARMY, why would I want to read a book about me or about ARMY? Well, this book definitely uncovers things you probably have never thought about, things that you really appreciate about ARMY but have hardly ever thought about or haven't thought about in a long time, if you're like me. Highly recommend it. And we will come back to this book very soon. Let me say before signing off, if you like this podcast, I would love to have your support. But not in the way you might think. I mean, instead of giving to me or to this podcast, I'd like to ask you to consider making a donation. Even a small one would help, to an effort called Books for Africa. Books for Africa is a project that I believe is worthy of BTS and all they stand for, especially when it comes to helping those in need, which is what Books for Africa does. They were founded upon a single mission to end the book famine in Africa. They've been doing this since 1988. You can see online more about Books for Africa, BFA, at booksforafrica.org. There's a donate option there in case you are also compelled to provide support. I believe their focus on books and the book famine, as they put it, also makes it a perfect fit for this podcast. If you make a donation to BFA, please let me know about that. And you don't have to say a lot, but you might say, hey, I appreciate the podcast, so I made a donation. And you can let me know that by emailing me at btsbythebook, that's btsbythebook@gmail.com. Please use that same email to send me any questions or comments that you might have to share. I am so interested in any and every question or comment or book recommendations, certainly. I try to keep up with the books, but in case I haven't yet talked about a book that you're aware of, let me know about it. Maybe I know about it already, and it's in the queue. Maybe not. It doesn't hurt to mention books. And on that note, please consider purchasing your own copy of this book. Like I said, it may only be available in a Kindle format, but I know you can find it easily online at places like Amazon. Again, the book is called BTS and Army Culture. By purchasing a book like this, you can let the author, Dr. Lee, know that books about BTS are important to you too, as a fan of the group. Not just the music, not just the videos, but also the books. Thank you so much for being with me for this episode. We will see you in a week as we look at yet another book about BTS, one chapter at a time.